This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I think you go right back to Dickinson on a block here.
He's in the corner now. They spread it out for Adams. Missed it. Waterman. Great defense and a great rebound. A big point play from Noah Waterman.
What a game, Drew. What a game.
And what an atmosphere. Switch down the hall. Steps back. Yes, sir!
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Courtesy of the call goes to ESPN+. Not like regular ESPN was enough. We had to add ESPN Plus. Take more of your money. Shout out to them. As BYU goes into the fog and takes down Kansas last night, snapping Kansas' 19-game home win streak, which is great for us because we bet BYU. We absolutely loved it. 20 minutes from now, our pal Pete Prisco will stop by live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, talking National Football League, and then we will don thy royal bucket hats for 8 buckets, AFC, win total discussions and guesses. Can't wait for it. In 2 hours from now, we'll roll through all our bets for tonight here on this Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet. Ken, a little college hoops off of last night. We did Kentucky in the first hour of the show. Maybe we could do a little bit more just to reiterate kind of like how we feel about the Wildcats, a team that a lot of people like to win the national championship. So we'll get to Kentucky in a second. But let's talk about BYU here. A team that we bet on a couple times recently over the course of the last week and bet against this weekend against Kansas State. So Ibn Hassami Sosa would say, very, very good to us. We absolutely love it. I like this team a lot. I look at BYU and see maybe not a team that can win the national championship. Like I think like Marquette might be able to, but I really, really like them. And the poise that you've got to show to go into Kansas and win, pretty impressive. And I know Kansas was not playing at full strength, but I mean, that's really impressive. They won by 8 on the road in Kansas. So Ken, where are you at right now on BYU as we approach the Big 12 tournament, the NCAA tournament, and the ceiling for the Cougs of BYU?
Yeah, I mean, I'll actually group BYU and Kentucky together here. If you took Kentucky's talent and you gave them BYU's season, they could probably go and win the national championship. But BYU, to me, just like doesn't have close to enough talent, and Kentucky has the most red flags of any team that anybody would reasonably bet to win the NCAA tournament. So they're both flawed in a completely different way. Kentucky certainly has the players that you feel like you could develop into a team that could win. And, you know, it's not like you have to have 3 pros or 2 pros or whatever. You know, if you want, you can't make it that simple. But you kind of can, you know, like, yeah, Connecticut was a 4 and maybe they surprised a few people. They were rated really highly entering the tournament, but you know, like who'd they have? Well, they had Sanogo and they had Andre Jackson who got drafted by the Bucks, and they had Jordan Hawkins who plays for the Pelicans this year. Like you have these players, like that's not nothing in this year's team, like Klingon, like Stephon Castle, like these are guys like you're going to see them next year in some capacity in the NBA probably. And not everybody has guys like that. And BYU doesn't really have guys like that. And Kentucky's got about 20 of them. They just can't defend at all. And Jay Billis did a great job in the first hour of pointing this out, of just saying, well, A, said Kentucky couldn't defend, which he's right. And also was like, this is, I put this like my saying for this is, any team can win 4 games in the tournament, but it's like impossible to win 6. And he kind of said the exact same thing when he came on, because it's true. Bracket breaks right. get an upset across from you. Doesn't really matter who the team is. You can win your region. It's just easy, like, to a certain extent. We've seen bad teams do it all the time. But we haven't really ever seen a bad team win six, which is to win the national title. You have to win six games in the tournament, or seven if you make the first four. So, look, Kentucky and BYU, they are compelling for completely different reasons. BYU looks more to me like, I actually think they're more likely to make the Final Four than Kentucky is right now, because they are just much more balanced, and balance is what you're looking for teams that can play, you know, four really good games in a row, win a region. Kentucky is honestly probably going to fall into this paper tiger category of these teams that can just score an insane amount of points. It becomes so, they become the sexy team. Who doesn't want to bet on a team that scores a lot? It's really fun to watch. They have NBA players. They play compelling, dramatic, entertaining games. At the same time, when you defend like they do, you don't win. You don't win. Unadjusted efficiencies, Kentucky is fifth in the country in offense right now, and 180th in defense. This would be by far the worst defensive profile, adjusted, whatever adjustment you want. Manipulate the data however you'd like. They'd be the worst defensive team to ever win the title. They'd be maybe the worst defensive team, including Miami last year, to ever make the Final Four, if they ever even made the Final Four. And remember, anybody can win four games. So it's funny, like, you look at the two teams and you ask people, hey, if you put a poll up, you said, who is more likely to go to the Final Four right now, BYU or Kentucky?
I mean,
however many votes you'd get, 99% of people would vote Kentucky, except for, like, the snarky contrarians who'd be like, well, I'm just going to mess with the poll and vote the opposite side. But I actually think it's Kentucky, too. And I would actually be somebody who I'd say, well, I don't think it's either a lot of the time. But I think BYU would be more likely, and that would probably surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, that's our Cougs, or my Cougs at least, with BYU. You bet here with Nick and Ken on a Wednesday. Pete Prisco live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis talking NFL to start next hour. But we've been promising that we do some NHL on the show here, so let's do it. So things are not going great as of right now for our Vancouver Canucks. Losing last night, just like pretty ridiculous fashion to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm like, Penguins kind of felt like...
By the way, that game's going on while the Blazers blow that lead at halftime. I just, like, what is the Heat end up just covering, like, in a lame fashion?
Win by 10.
Like, at halftime,
yeah,
of that game, I'm like, it's Canucks 2-0. Canucks are up 2-0 at the end of the first period. The Blazers are winning outright by multiple possessions at halftime. Like, I go to bed and wake up to 0-2, which is pretty impossible in that situation. I mean, just like, what's your win probability chart on that one? It's my happiness chart. It was spiked way down when I woke up this morning. That was tough.
Dude, the NHL's been kicking my ass, man. I need a couple days off.
Vegas was like my favorite bet yesterday, and they win. They beat Toronto.
I had it, yeah, which was great, but that was like your bet. Like, my bets that I come up with myself have all been losing. So, like, I did win because I took Vegas with you last night, but otherwise, all of my picks lost last night, which sucked.
Do you like either of these big favorites tonight? You usually like a dog in these kind of games. Usually like the dog,
you know,
in these games.
I don't like either dog tonight, and I don't really want to. I think I'm taking the night off from the NHL. Maybe add moneyline parlay the Rangers and Oilers.
Is this a home and home for the Rangers and the Blue Jackets after the Blue Jackets beat them?
Rangers lost in Columbus on Sunday. No game in between. For the Rangers, at least. I don't know if Columbus played one. The Rangers haven't played since Sunday.
Well, the Blue Jackets going to get out of this mess. I mean, they're really up against it tonight, right? But I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. It's like an obvious human nature kind of a thing. Like, you're going to feel like the Rangers are really likely to win. Edmonton, they went on that huge winning streak. I'd be a little cautious with them for, you know, the last couple of games obviously haven't been great. The next 10, I'm not sure will go great. They feel like they finally found their baseline where they won enough to kind of catch back up to their preseason projections. And they're probably more just like appropriately rated against the Blues, who could muster nothing against Winnipeg the other night.
Who's playing goal tonight for St. Louis? Oh, Bennington. So, I mean, it gives you like...
I believe Bennington. Yeah.
Yeah, like, hasn't been great recently, but yeah, it makes you feel like a little bit better if you wanted to. I think I'm passing on hockey tonight because I've been getting my ass kicked. Last night, the Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't want to say they kicked Vancouver's ass, but they came back to win the game in overtime 4-3. Eric Karlsson with the winner, and Pittsburgh all of a sudden feels like that maybe as the trade deadline approaches in the NHL, might be a buyer. The season has been on the brink. They've won a couple games. Still, like, I think 7 points out of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, but a good amount of games to go here for Pittsburgh to maybe get into the playoffs. playoffs with the oldest roster by far in the National Hockey League. But this is a Vancouver conversation, not a Pittsburgh conversation. The Canucks now 4-4-2 in their last 10 games. Rick Tocchet, who's still the favorite to win the Adams Trophy Award, whatever it's called, Coach of the Year in the NHL, had said this after the game: "Hopefully our guys get their brains back." That's an actual quote from Rick Tocchet talking about his team. Now, of course, we don't know what the guy was, it tongue in cheek. They're still really good, but worth noting that the coach is unhappy with his players' performance. So they're really sloppy, and they need to get their brains back in the action. Tocchet is -400 to win the NHL, the Adams Trophy, the Coach of the Year award. -400. Rick Bowness of Winnipeg, who's like, they can't stop winning. Beat St. Louis last night, right? They're at 9. Paul Maurice of Florida is at 10. We have Chris Knobloch of Edmonton at 15. John Tortorella is 12. Peter Laviolette of my Rangers at 20. This is going to get a little interesting, Ken, you think? Coach of the Year, the Adams Trophy in the NHL?
My answer is I hope not. I think, like a lot of people who actually pay attention, not that there are a lot of people who pay attention to this market, although it is open in every domestic sports book all year. This is one that was only open in one place last year and has sort of expanded out, and or only in a couple places last year and has expanded out, where you can kind of bet it everywhere. And it, you know, it's kind of, if you're like, well, I've never bet this, what does it work? It works like every other Coach of the Year with some small alterations. What do you want? You want a team that wins a lot? And they win surprisingly. We weren't expecting them to be as good as they are, and they improve a lot over the previous year. The one kind of unique quality that this Coach of the Year award has is the way NHL does their awards versus the others. You know, you think about, you watched NFL honors, especially if you follow this show, voted on by the media, like a panel of voters. It has a lot of media members, has some other voters in it, but like kind of all in the same vein. NBA, like the voters tend to be a lot of media. The broadcasters vote for this award, and like the people who actually call the games vote for this award, and exclusively, no one else does, just them. And there's been a belief out there that Tocchet had a natural advantage in this market if they were going to be good, because he is beloved in that circle. And we had Liam McHugh on, who anchors Turner's coverage, the other day. And he's like, the first thing he says is like, so happy for Rick Tocchet. Like, he used to be in the studio, we were telling stories, like that's the vibe that I'm trying to give off here about how. So I think when you have a guy that everyone's dying to give this award to, you can put up with a little bit of a slump and still feel okay about his likelihood, which is one of the reasons why I think the market hasn't changed very much, is that there's this idea that it's like, no, it's him. Like, they're going to win the division still a lot of the time. They're big favorite to win the division. They won't probably win the presidents anymore, win the conference. Probably. They still have a chance. But it's, you know, I think, look, as someone who has a lot of Tocchet and a couple other coaches, you know, do I need to play defense? It's like the question I'm asking. Just the sense that I get is that he still got this. And the one thing to note about Vancouver, so before you, like, you know, jump off the ship, or you believe you're taking on a lot of water here, like if you bet Tocchet or if you want to take shots with other coaches, worth noting, Vancouver has almost an entire month stretch in March where they will not leave home. It's basically almost the entire month of March. They'll just be at home playing games. And don't have a lot of back-to-backs at that point. That is a tremendous advantage to have over other teams in terms of winning a lot of games. So I would say I'm concerned, but versus some other award markets with some big favorites being challenged, I think ultimately it's going to be okay, and it's only because the schedule sets up that way.
That's great that they don't have to leave Vancouver. Great city. You ever been?
I haven't. Expensive, right?
Me neither. Pete Prisco joins us to start hour number three, coming
it's
up
really
next
nice.
Live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I don't know. I've never been.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.